My wife Carla was a very theatrical girl growing up. She absolutely loved musicals. So when in third grade, Oliver Twist opened for auditions, she was very eager to land a lead role. Now she realized that the play took place in London, England, so she practiced and practiced with a British accent. And then she sang her heart out. Now, Carla had one significant challenge about auditioning for this role. And she has given me permission to share this. She has a terrible singing voice. And a fake British accent to go along with it didn't help. Decades later, as gifted and as talented as she is, and she is quite talented, she continues to be a terrible singer. Seriously, when she sings at home, my two boys, they beg her to stop. Please stop. So you can imagine a similar scenario unfolded for Carla during her audition for Oliver Twist. Now, there's a different story for her brother, who auditioned as well, her younger brother, and he was warmly welcomed into the play. And then he went on to release some albums and perform with various bands. He didn't share Carla's limitations with her vocal talents. This was difficult for Carla growing up because she was taught that she could do anything she put her mind to, and there was just no limits. Now, I mentioned that Carla gave me permission to share that story because for me, growing up, I didn't have any heartbreaks as a little boy when it came to limitations. My parents gave me a very different message. For them, the message was, we'll support you no matter what. And we just want you to walk with God. Carla and I received two very different messages growing up. And it really changed the way we measured our lives at an early age. The truth is that there are limitations for all of us. The well-intended, you can do anything. The sky's the limit. Your life is limitless, which many of us have heard growing up, or perhaps even as a parent, you have said with good intent, but it simply isn't true. We all have limits. And today we're going to consider our limitations and how they shape us. Some of us feel inadequate. We don't feel like we're enough because we haven't done enough. The writers in the Bible and throughout history and writers today have described this feeling as shame, that something is lacking, that something is just not quite enough. And we can feel inadequate when we sense that we haven't done enough. Similar to the way Carla felt inadequate in the third grade, that she wanted something desperately and she felt she could accomplish it, but she couldn't. Many of us resist limitations. We don't want to live in a world with limits. We want to see how high we can fly and how fast we can go, inevitably until that moment where there's a detour or we hit a wall. There is a compelling story in Scripture of someone who was able to receive his limitations as a gift, and it was actually able to lead him to a place of contentment and joy. In the life of John the Baptist, we see an example of someone who has received his limitations as a gift, someone who understood freedom and experienced God's gift of grace, that we don't have to do everything. I want to invite you to stand for the reading of Scripture, and open your Bibles, whether it's in print or digital form, as we read John chapter 1. The light, speaking of Jesus, shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. And then we read in John chapter 3. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him." To this, John replied, "A person can receive only what is given them from heaven." Let's pray. Living God, we pray that you would speak to us today in a way that meets us just where we are. May your Holy Spirit come and fill us with your presence and give us insight and wisdom. Help us to have an open heart and teachable posture to hear your voice. We pray in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Today we are continuing our sermon series, Grace Covers Shame. We're exploring ways in which shame often limits us from the full lives that God desires for us. And our hope is that we will experience new freedoms and overcome shame by experiencing God's grace in our lives. The story of John the Baptist demonstrates that we can overcome our sense of inadequacy by receiving our human limitations as a gift. Now, as we step into this story, the story of John the Baptist, we see priests and Levites who were the religious enforcers at the time, making the journey from the temple in Jerusalem to the Jordan River. And it was in the middle of the wilderness that they wanted to question this prophet, John the Baptist, who hundreds, perhaps tens of thousands of people gathered from all over Israel to hear and experience the influence of John the Baptist. The religious leaders approached John to interrogate him with question after question. We see in Scripture the religious elite posing three intense questions to him in John chapter 1. Firstly, they wanted to know whether John was the Messiah. Was he the king that they had been waiting for hundreds of years? Then they wanted to know whether or not John was Elijah. You see, there was a prophecy in the end of the Old Testament about how the prophet Elijah would come again before the age to come. And then thirdly, they wanted to know whether or not he was the prophet. Early in the Old Testament, there was a prophecy about how a prophet would one day rise to speak to Israel on behalf of God himself. To all these questions, John responded with, "No, I am not." Finally, they said, "Who are you?" They needed an answer. We see John's response in chapter 3, where John replied in the words of the prophet Isaiah, "I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord." John the Baptist was saying, "I am the one, the voice in the wilderness. My task is to get Israel ready for the Messiah." And this is exactly what he does. It says in Scripture, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. John was crystal clear. He directed everyone to Jesus. And he said, I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. So what do we see John doing in this moment? It's beautiful. We see John doing his calling. He's preparing Israel for the Messiah. And Jesus is the Messiah, not John. Now, what's interesting about this story is what happens next. The day after John testified that Jesus was the Messiah, two of his disciples who were with John listened to John the Baptist when he said, look, the Lamb of God. And they followed Jesus. They abandoned John and they followed Jesus. Now just imagine for a moment what that might have felt like emotionally for John the Baptist. Here were disciples that he had poured his life into and invested, and they just left him for someone else, someone better. He was no longer number one. When I was a site pastor for a church in Toronto, we were experiencing some exciting growth, and we decided, in light of that growth, that we were going to multiply the site that I was pastoring. Now, I was fully engaged with the mission, and I was excited, and I mobilized some leaders, and we did some training. It was so thrilling to be part of this opportunity to expand until they left. I remember walking in on a Sunday morning and seeing half my leadership team gone and a lot of the congregation gone and feeling distraught emotionally. Half of my team was absent, as well as my community. Now, both sites thrived, but at the moment, it was emotionally painful. And my role in that moment was one of loss. Now, in a much more significant way, imagine John the Baptist and that moment where he loses his disciples and it only gets worse. In John chapter 3, we see Jesus with his disciples in the countryside baptizing people. John the Baptist was also there because scripture tells us there was an abundant amount of water, so it was a good place to do baptisms. Well, John's disciples came to him and said, Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him. First, John's disciples abandon him, and then everyone is going to Jesus. Now, you would think that John the Baptist would be distraught about this development, but not at all. To this, John replied, a person can receive only what is given them from heaven. What an amazing line in this story. A person can receive only what is given them from heaven. It is difficult to accept, isn't it, that there are limits. I don't know about you, but I want to do everything, but I can't. We can't do everything we want. We have limitations. And it's not that when I was that site pastor, I didn't want two sites in Toronto. It's that I wanted to be able to lead both sites to a place of flourishing. But it wasn't my call. My purpose was to grow, multiply, and rebuild. Nothing more than that. Some of you know exactly what I mean. You want so much more. And it's difficult to encounter and to embrace limitations. The truth is, I can't do anything. All I can do is what God has shaped me for. We have limits. If you're a millennial, many of you have high expectations for how fast you can get to where you want to go. You can feel the tension of inadequacy, of not being worthy in some way. And then there are life comparisons. Are we able to celebrate when someone else advances ahead of us or someone is more successful? Apparently, hikers on the Appalachian Trail have the motto, hike your own hike. That is, resist the urge to compare how many miles you cover in a day or how far other hikers have gone. Stay focused on your own hike. The reality is, though, some hikers are better than other hikers. And some people are more gifted than others. We have real limitations. For some of us, things come very naturally, but other things, not so much. The motto, hike your own hike, is reminding hikers to resist the urge to compare. It makes me grateful for the message that my parents gave me growing up. They encouraged me to hike my own hike with God. We'll support you no matter what you pursue. We just want you to be with God. That wasn't about being the best or striving. It was about being and calling. It was about pursuing God's purpose. Social media fuels comparisons. Curated lives that feed our human insecurities and our sense of limitations. We start thinking, is my story good enough? Am I good enough? There will always be someone better than you, especially with Instagram filters. For some of us, comparison may lead to entitlement or discontentment rather than gratitude and joy. But not for John the Baptist. He was able to rejoice. He understood that he had a role, and that role was restricted. He was able to receive those limits as gifts from God, knowing that they would lead to his heavenly Father and a love relationship rather than a mere limitation. What are your limitations? Here, a 10th part of our pathway of spiritual growth includes a couple of courses on emotionally healthy discipleship. And one of those courses that's coming in the spring, if you haven't experienced emotionally healthy spirituality, I invite you to participate. One of the sessions talks about embracing the gifts of our limits. And there's a helpful list that has really been helpful for a lot of us in the community. And I want us just to consider it for a moment. What are your limitations? Your physical body? Do I hear an amen? Yes? We are limited. Aside from tragic diseases and incidents that happen and surprise us, we need to eat, drink, rest, sleep. We are limited. Your family of origin, you have no control over your family of origin, but it limits you. Your marital status. Singles want to be married, and some married want to be single. Whether you're single, married, divorced, or widowed, you have limitations. And then your intellectual capacity. It's difficult to be equally brilliant in art, literature, engineering, mathematics, carpentry, and music at the very same time. Your gifts and talents. Jesus has them all. You have several. I have some, but none of us have them all, right? And then your wealth. Whatever your financial prosperity is, you have limits. And then there's time. Ah, time. That may be one of the most significant limits of all, is our time. And there are so many more. Many of us are caught in cycles of shame over our limited wealth, our limited time, our limited talents, our lower intellect, our current marital status, our body's imperfections. And it is not based on God's call, but rather this shame of this human feeling that we are not enough, that we are not adequate. We start to believe this, that we are not enough. It is true that we have human limitations in the very same way that John the Baptist did. He was limited in his role to prepare the way of Jesus. But we are not alone. God understands our limitations. Jesus encountered many limitations. When God became a human being in the person of Jesus Christ, he entered the reality of limitation. And he was someone who was hungry and thirsty and tired. He would need sleep and he would need rest. Jesus healed a man at the pool of Bethsaida. And among that man that was healed, there were many that needed to be healed. There were blind, lame, and paralyzed. So why did Jesus only heal one man? Jesus articulated his limitations. He explained that he could only do what the Father does. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. On another occasion, Jesus' close friend Lazarus was in critical condition, and his sisters, Mary and Martha, said, "Lord, the one you love is sick." And although this message came with a sense of urgency, Jesus didn't rush to Lazarus, but he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Lazarus had died and was already buried by the time Jesus arrived. Now, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, but this story shows us that Jesus was guided and limited by the voice of his Father in heaven. Jesus didn't feel shame over these human limitations. He understood his purpose. He understood God's desires for him, and he trusted his Father fully. He walked with his Father, and he was within his ways. Remember the way that John the Baptist responded to the temptation to compare and focus on his limitations. He said, "A person can receive only what is given them from heaven." John the Baptist shows us that we can live with a limitless joy. When John the Baptist testified that he was not the Messiah, he used a beautiful metaphor of a wedding celebration, a party. And we read in John chapter 3, he said, "The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy. When he hears the bridegroom's voice, that joy is mine and it is now complete. He must become greater, I must become less." When John the Baptist's disciples said, "Everyone is going to him," meaning Jesus, he responded by saying, "The bride belongs to the bridegroom," meaning all of these people, the bride, belong to Jesus, the bridegroom. They don't belong to me. And so we know the friend who attends the bridegroom was John the Baptist. John's response to his limitations was countercultural. It was against the flow. He is full of joy and sums up his heart by saying, "He must become greater. I must become less." John the Baptist understood what God had shaped him for. And because of that, he was able to receive his limitations as a gift. And then there's the Apostle Paul, who is considered one of the most, if not the most important leader in Christianity aside from Jesus. His letters have had enormous influence. In one letter, he described a thorn in the flesh that he had, and he pleaded with God to take it away. God responded to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." It was through Paul's weaknesses, through his limitations, that Paul found his calling. Paul expressed that he delighted in his limitations. He wrote in his letter, "That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Paul delighted in his limitations, and God's light shined through him brilliantly. When we surrender to God, he takes our human limitations and he turns them upside down and he uses them for good. Jesus chose to limit himself. He did that so that we could experience his love, a love that is truly limitless. It says in Scripture that Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. One scholar reminds us how difficult it is to grasp the significance of the cross so many centuries later. He writes, "In polite Roman society, the word cross was an obscenity, not to be uttered in conversation. Even when a man was being sentenced to death by crucifixion, an archaic formula was used that avoided pronouncing the four-letter word that was in Latin. This utterly vile form of punishment was that which Jesus endured, and by enduring it, he turned that shameful instrument of torture into the object his followers proudest boast. May I never boast, said Paul, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Christ on the cross is an incomprehensive turning of upside down of both Jewish and Roman attitudes to crucifixion. Jesus rose from the dead, and God gave him the name that was above all names. He became less so that we might become more. Scripture is telling us that instead of feeling shame over our limits, we can surrender to all of our limits to God, and he will elevate them. There was a high school student who played soccer, baseball, and rugby. He competed in track and field and took up cross-country running. But what he wanted to do more than anything was play basketball. He ran to school each morning and stayed late after classes, all so he could practice and become an awesome basketball player. As a student at Simon Fraser University, and more competitive than ever, he made the junior varsity basketball team. He had a dream to be a high school phys ed teacher. His future looked bright. Life was good. Then, in November 1976, he began having pain in his right knee. He tried to ignore it and continued to play basketball, but the pain was unbearable. His father drove him to the hospital to take x-rays and a bone scan. With his family around him, he was told the results of the test. Terry had bone cancer. His leg would have to be amputated. On the night before his surgery, he read about an amputee runner that had run in the New York Marathon. This filled Terry not only with admiration, but with hope. His hope led to his calling. Terry Fox decided that he would run across Canada to raise money for cancer research. He would call his journey the Marathon of Hope. Terry was an impressive athlete and had a high level of athletic ability. His courage and spirit soared in the face of difficulty. Despite his remarkable optimism, his fierce perseverance, and his hard work, he experienced limitations. His career aspiration to be a high school phys ed teacher was derailed. He hit a wall. Terry was forced to stop running in Thunder Bay, Ontario. And I think it was one of those moments where an entire nation was faced with human limitations. While Terry never ran again and he lost his fight with cancer or against cancer, his research continues, and in his name, there's been over $750 million raised worldwide for cancer research. Each and every year, the annual Terry Fox Run comes around, and we're reminded of someone who embraced their limitations and found their calling. Terry's limitation is where he found his impact. And it is in our pain and our weakness where God does his work. And the reward for living our purpose is not always the success we want. Terry did not want to lose his leg or die young or raise money for cancer research. But his human limitations were his to embrace. Jesus wasn't eager to die on a cross, but because of his obedience to the will of his Father, it means we can be forgiven, and it means we can overcome shame with his grace. Our human limitations can lead us to empowerment and a new life. And the cross is no longer an obscenity, never to be uttered. It is now a symbol of life. God flipped it around because Jesus trusted his Father, and God elevated the unspeakable to the most awesome. Leonard Cohen, the Canadian singer and songwriter, penned these words in his song Anthem. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. I love these words. Shame is based on a pursuit of perfection. But Leonard Cohen understood that to live in your imperfection was what is beautiful. He understood that without cracks, there is no light, and we need light. Light is such a powerful metaphor of God's love. It does incredible things for our spirit. Looking at a stained glass window in the dark is not much to see. You cannot see the beauty until the light comes through. And when it does, it can leave you breathless. Living here in Vancouver, we have all experienced the awe of walking through a rainforest on a cloudy day. And then, in that glorious moment when the clouds part and the sun breaks through, it illuminates the forest, and it can stop us in our tracks. What do we do in the dark before the stained glass window shows its beauty? Or in the forest before the sun illuminates the way between the tree branches? When we are in the midst of our human limits, how do we move from shame to God's gracious calling on our lives? In Leighton Ford's book, A Life of Listening, he writes about a Quaker woman who was asked how she was able to discern God's way in her life. Her quaint answer was to say, "Way has not often opened before me, but way has often closed behind me." This is a profession of faith. My wife Carla, in grade 3, in her heartbreak of not getting that part in Oliver Twist, that door closed on her. She wasn't musical theater material. She wanted it desperately, but God did not give it to her. Instead, that closed door opened up a whole new world for her. He took the passion that she had for theater, and he uses her passion to speak in her volunteer work and at conferences and events across the country. Her voice was made for the stage, just not her singing voice. Today, she uses her voice to encourage our son, Julian, who has a beautiful singing voice. And like she encouraged her brother, who was rehearsing his role for that Oliver Twist play. And for better and for worse, till death do us part, she still sings along with every musical we watch in our home, unapologetically. Trusting God in the midst of our limitations removes our shame, and focusing on loving God in the midst of our limitations leads us to a life that is beautiful. Let's pray together. For those of you who are walking with God, I want to encourage you to respond in a couple of different ways. First, I want to invite you to confess your limitations, your weaknesses. There is something freeing about naming your human limitations. Secondly, I want you to embrace your weaknesses so God can empower your life. Make a commitment. Let the light shine through your life. Being in a place of dependence and reliance because you are humanly limited is precisely where God wants you. This is the foundation where he can begin to build. God doesn't need more perfection from you. He is perfect. He desires your brokenness and your humanity that reflects his image. And to those who have not encountered the love and the light of Jesus Christ, I invite you to turn to him in all your limitations and surrender your life. May your prayer simply be, Jesus, I believe in you, and I believe what you've done for me, and I want to follow you. I turn from resisting you and my limitations, and I give you my life. Just as I am, just where I am, I'm yours. And may we all belong to Jesus and walk with him. By his amazing grace, may we let the light through each and every day. Amen.